Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of Luke and the book Acts of the Apostle were both penned by the hand of Luke, the physician. The title Acts of the Apostles was first given by Irenaeus, Bishop of Lyons. Lyons is in the southeastern portion of France, and there's written in the year sometime 175 to 185 AD is when it started to be called the Acts of the Apostles. Now, we heard this morning how Luke concluded the gospel writing, which was his first book, with the appearance of Jesus to the disciples. And in that appearance, Luke has written, communicating the events so that we understand the Jesus that stood before the disciples was fully human in his resurrected body. Luke describes the event with Jesus saying, "Look at my hands, look at my feet, touch me. He is man, he is flesh, he is bone." And to make it even more clear, Jesus asks him for something to eat, and he eats broiled fish in their presence. Truly alive, truly, fully human, a man with healed scars from the wounds inflicted by the crucifixion. Luke relates more what Jesus said. In particular, preaching in the name of Jesus would spread through all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations in Jesus' name. The disciples are witnesses, and they are the ones who will preach these things. But they need to wait. Wait to be clothed with power from on high. These disciples who have been with Jesus for 3 years, walking with him and sharing all things with him through those years, wasn't that enough experience to prepare them? The 3 years of seeing and doing things alongside Jesus, isn't that what all they needed? The answer is no. They needed more. They need to be clothed with power from on high. They need to wait for what the Father has promised. Jesus ascended, and the disciples returned to Jerusalem, continually praising God. That is how the Gospel of Luke concludes, with the disciples in Jerusalem waiting. Acts, the second book of Luke, begins with the disciples in Jerusalem waiting. They have not set out on the mission that they were commissioned to do. The days go by, prayer, worship, staying together in the upper room, no action, no big deeds done in Jesus' name, till that morning that began like any other morning, when suddenly a roar of a mighty, forceful wind breaks the silence of the morning, and the coming of the Holy Spirit begins the ministry of power from on high. The power of the living God entered into the disciples, filled them with the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit. From that moment, the ministry from power on high began in the disciples. From the upper room, they burst forth, and the witnessing began. Peter preached the first time in thousands were cut to the heart, pleading to know what they must do, and the answer was, repent and be baptized. Another way of saying, repent, believe, and become a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Repent and believe. The same message that Jesus began his ministry with, according to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Repent and believe began the preaching ministry. Ministry empowered from the living God, filling the disciples. Irenaeus gave the book the title, The Acts of the Apostles. But a more apropos title would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. For it is the working of the Holy Spirit in and through the disciples as they are witnessing, moving from Jerusalem into the greater portions of the world that Acts records. It is the Holy Spirit, the promised power from on high, that builds the church. We can go through the motions of church, sound like church, do good works like church, and be void of the Holy Spirit. Congregations can grow large and people flock to them, and many point to them and say, "Wow, isn't that wonderful?" And that congregation can be hollow and shallow and devoid of the Holy Spirit. You can see this to be true by the way the Crystal Cathedral's ministry collapsed. And you can see this to be true by the way the ministry of Mars Hills collapsed. You can grow a congregation with positive thinking and pop psychology and coaching and guiding with business principles on how to think and grow rich. That will attract people, for you're speaking to their selfish desires and motives. Now, if you preach a message of self-denial, repentance, and a whole life change to follow Jesus, how can those words grow a congregation? Preaching a call to radical devotion that may lead to suffering, brokenness, persecution, and even death. How can that grow a congregation? Preaching a message that is countercultural, a call to moral righteousness, a call to holy living, a call to go against the flow and speak the truth of the Word of God. How can that grow a congregation? But are we here to grow a congregation? Or are we here to grow the church of Christ and bring people into His kingdom? We are not here for a popularity contest, to be noted as most tolerant and with the times. We are here to be faithful. Faithful witnesses to the Holy One of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Look to the disciples. Look to the martyrs throughout the generations. Look to what came to pass in their lives as they followed Jesus, their Lord and Savior. Was it wealth and luxurious living? Or was it suffering for Christ? Willing to suffer for the good news of the gospel. Suffer for the love of Jesus and the truth in His name. It is so good. Forgiveness of sin, new life in Jesus Christ. Missionaries traveling to all parts of the world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who did not know it. St. Patrick going to Ireland to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Druids and pagans and bring an end to their wickedness. Over a period of 40 years, Ireland came to know Christ. Now Ireland needs another St. Patrick, for the wickedness of ages past has returned. How can a nation that is said to be over 70% Roman Catholic fall to the winds of secularism? Somehow, somewhere, the church ceased to be the church of Jesus Christ, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, and became the church relying on tradition and activities, the stuff of church, and losing the redeeming power that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The same thing is happening all through the Western church. The church of Jesus Christ forgetting to rely solely on the power of the Holy Spirit and turning to pop psychology, business leadership skills and models, pep talks, and other things along the same ilk. Churches becoming country clubs that serve their members only. Becoming coaching centers where life coaches will guide you on your way. Churches full of coffee houses, bookstores, basketball, soccer, anything to meet a need. Or is that a perceived need? Instead of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit that redeems souls. I saw this firsthand at one church. To get more adults into Sunday school, they had a person come and lead a few Sunday school sessions on psychology laced with spirituality. Yes, the numbers increased, but the increase was groupies that followed this speaker from place to place. There were no heart transformations by the redeeming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I sat there in disbelief when others talked about how great and good the numbers were in adult Sunday school those weeks. I was just sitting there, and I didn't say it, but oh, I wanted to say it. Are you serious? Can't you see what took place? That wasn't Christian faith proclaimed, leading to a heart transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, drawing and making disciples. So there was a blip in attendance, but long-term commitment to a discipleship and worship, that did not happen. Attendance numbers understood in that manner are not important. Redeemed, transformed lives, committed to the body of Christ, that is what is important. Holy Spirit power brings about redeemed lives. And it is not groupies following a persona around so they can have numbers up in Sunday school. You can go about the busyness of churchness and not miss the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can go about your daily stuff without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Francis Schaeffer wrote about this in his book, True Spirituality. He wrote, "The Lord's work done in human energy is not the Lord's work any longer. It is something, but it's not the Lord's work." The Lord's work done in human energy is not the Lord's work any longer. Francis Schaeffer, a little farther on, writes this. It's a short quote, but listen carefully. "There is to be a moment by moment supernatural reality for the group as well for the individual. This is the really important thing. In comparison to this, everything is secondary. We tend to think of Christ building his invisible church and our building the visible church. We tend to think in this kind of dichotomy. So our building of the visible church becomes much like any natural business function, using natural means and natural motives. How many times do we find that in doing the business of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a rapid opening prayer, a rapid closing prayer, after half the people have left, but in between there is no difference between the doing the Lord's business and the business of some well-organized business enterprise." How many of you experienced meetings like that in a church? Pray, then for the next portion, you don't even recognize that you're doing the work of the Lord. Because you're doing it in human strength and human reason and human understanding. Oh, meeting's done, time to pray. We've all seen that and experienced it, but there's a remedy. The remedy is to always look to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Wait. Pray for His leading moment by moment. We may not do it well, but we will be living in the supernatural. This is living by faith. This is living under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Living in the supernatural is engaging in the battle for souls by the power of the Holy Spirit. Entering into that unseen war in the unseen portion of reality. Prayer becomes more than just an abstract act of devotion. Prayer is the place where the church is the church engaging in the work of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 43. They, that is the new disciples that have joined the disciples, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and Mary, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now you may ask, how does this apply to me? I turn your attention to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. All of them were filled. Not some, all. This filling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not limited to the few special, unique few. This filling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit is a birthright of every child of God. This filling and indwelling is for you. Yes, this filling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit is for you, child of God. And as you become more aware of this, when you do the Lord's work and the Lord's power, you will refrain from saying, I can't do that because of fear or thinking it's beyond your ability. For that is the point. It is beyond your ability. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not beyond the ability of God and the Holy Spirit that is dwelling in you. If Samuel Morris can cross the ocean and get to New York in America with no money and find Stephen Merritt within hours of arriving to learn more about the Holy Ghost, and if Samuel Morris can transform Taylor University simply by his prayerful presence, the power of the living God working through Samuel Morris is the same power of the living God that will work through you, each one of you. I invite you to experience this Holy Spirit presence and power. I invite you to a simple faith, a faith that lives by trusting the Word of God and filling your life with prayer. Extraordinary supernatural happenings are in the making for us. They really are. For we are the church. Father, we open ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. Blow through us with a mighty wind. Holy Spirit, power from on high, build your church through us, faith in Christ. Amen.